Join the conversation
on the Cape Talk app, online and across the Cape on 567 AM.
You're with Cape Talk.
So a very exciting night it was last night to be sitting in the live studio audience watching the filming of the Survivor finale. And even though we are all obviously a little disappointed that our colleague Jean had to settle for second place in the end, I hope she's listening. I hope she can hear us all say how fiercely proud we are of her and how big a thrill it was for us to watch her compete and watch her follow what was a lifelong dream right through to its end. So Jean, big ups to you, regardless of the outcome. But of course, we also have to say congratulations to the man who bumped her into second place and scooped the million rand for himself. Tom Swartz back with us in studio. And to say it must have been a whirlwind couple of hours for you, Tom, doesn't even begin, I'm sure. How are you feeling this morning? This afternoon?
It's been absolutely crazy. I don't believe that it's sunk in just yet. You know, there's still a lot of hype going on. I think the nerves are shot, and they have been for quite a while. So it is sinking in slowly, and every time somebody reminds me, hey, millionaire, I'm like, what? Oh, wait, hey.
That's me.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a millionaire's breakfast, champagne and oysters and caviar?
I didn't. I had a really, really quick breakfast because my first interview was at 6:15.
Ouch, and I can't imagine you got to bed too late or early, as it were, either.
No.
Lots of celebrations going on last night. Tom, look, it was an awesome outcome. And as that voice note said, you really talked yourself into the million at the end. I think going into that that final vote, it was quite an even match, but certainly your arguments sealed the deal for you without a doubt. You looked like you were wound up as tight as a ball of string last night. Obviously, the nerves of having to wait and wait and wait some more. I mean, you guys shot this at the beginning of the year.
That's correct.
You had that weird window when you came back and you had to be all quiet about where you'd been and what you were doing before it started airing on TV.
Yeah.
And then perhaps even worse, while it was airing, you still couldn't say anything and people started asking you questions and recognizing you on the street and you couldn't say anything. Did that really add to that tension that last night you were finally getting to the point where you could finally tell people what had gone on?
Absolutely. You know, you're walking in the street and somebody stops you and says, oh, you've got to tell me what happens next week. And you've got to keep it quiet. So you almost hermit yourself. So you don't really want to go out too many times because you're going to be asked the same question. You've got to lie in the same way. So, yeah, you sort of try to avoid public as much as possible.
That's going to change now, I would guess. But really interesting. I mean, I know Jean did a lot of preparation for her time on the island. She was learning how to make fire. She slept on the floor for a couple of months to get ready. You have a lot of life experience that prepped you for this. I mean, I was really interested to hear last night when we watched that final tribal council that you were an anti-poaching unit manager.
Yes, I was a commanding officer of an anti-abalone poaching unit in the greater Port Elizabeth area.
Yeah.
And had been for about 4 years. It was tough. That's not something everybody can do.
Yeah.
But I love the challenge. I love the excitement. And most of all, the dream behind it all, conservation, and of the thing I love the most, the ocean.
Okay. Tough to prepare. I mean, tough physical. A job like that involves tough physical stretching yourself to the limit, which must surely have played in your favor when you got to the Philippines and suddenly found yourself sleeping in uncomfortable situations, grappling with little food, long hours awake, the boredom, etc. Do you feel it might have even given you an edge that your brain was used to functioning in that quite harsh, difficult condition?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely believe that I had an advantage there. The suffering a little bit physically is really not a big deal. You'll get over it. You can cry tomorrow. You'll sleep later. You can sleep when you're dead. The thing that really got me is when it came to poachers, I knew exactly who hated me. But when it got to Survivor, I had absolutely no cooking clue. And the emotional side of dealing with that many people and the social game was extremely difficult. And hence the reason I suppose I was so abrasive.
Okay, we're chatting with Survivor winner Tom Swartz. And if you want to ask him a question, please, this is your opportunity. Give us a call on 021-446-0567. Send your question as an SMS to 31567. Or do what this person's done. Leave us a voice note on 072-567-1567.
Hi, Pippa. It's Ingrid. Great Survivor fan. I'm sorry that John didn't win, but I think Tom was a very worthy winner. I just want to know, Where do they go to the bathroom? That's the one bit no one ever shows us on Survivor. I'm just intrigued. Do they have to dig a hole or do they have port-a-loos hidden behind scenes?
Great question, Ingrid. Thank you. What's the answer, Tom?
Okay, Ingrid, thanks for the question. No, there are no port-a-loos. It is what it is. You're in the bush. And as for where I went, it's a little bit strange talking about this on radio, but I think it was only once that I went on land. I need to notice that the trees that were sheltering me were extremely small leafed trees.
Which, not much help.
No, which didn't help with the Dupla situation. So from then onwards, I went in the ocean.
Okay. I mean, this is a misconception I think a lot of people have, that it's all for show, that it's actually behind the scenes there are creature comforts available, that maybe it's not quite as tough out there as it's made to look. They're wrong in thinking that, aren't they?
Well, actually, they're right. It's not as tough as it looks. It's twice as tough.
Yeah.
I've been through a lot, and that was one of the toughest things I've ever done in my life.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Jeff wanting to know on the SMS line how large the camera crew is behind the scenes. So, I mean, you're there in this very isolated state with your social game players, but how big is the team sort of supporting you and interacting with you every day?
The team that runs around with the cameras and sound is actually really small.
Okay.
But somehow or another, they manage to spread themselves that they don't miss a thing.
Okay. Tom, let's talk a little bit about what happened at that final vote, which for us was last night, but obviously for you was several months ago. You've had the benefit of a couple of weeks to think about it and think about what you said and how people reacted. And I know when you sat here on Wednesday, you said you didn't have any inkling of who was going to win. You did, though, by then know that it was just you and Jean and that Annelies wasn't going to be sitting alongside you. Do you think that if Jean had chosen to take Annelies with her instead of you, she might have won?
Wow. That is such a tough question. It's not really something that I can comment on without saying I would have liked to have heard Annelies's story first. I would have liked to have heard her closing statement. You know, it's very, very different. You know, the way that Jeanne approached my statement would be completely different to the way that she would approach Annelies's statement. And without hearing both of them in context, really difficult to say.
Okay. It was a tough jury, though. There were some very tough questions put to both of you, some very tough comments made about both of you. Having listened to all of that and then had to walk away and wait several months to hear the vote being read, I mean, did you think that you were in it with a chance, or did you walk away from that going, yes, there's no way this is going my way?
I literally walked away there thinking that somebody had just pulled a cheese grater over my butt cheeks. I thought I was done. I really didn't think I had a cooking chance in hell.
So then what surprised you the most when you saw last night who voted for you?
Oh, wow. I did not expect Palesa to vote for me.
I've got to be honest, neither did I.
I did not expect Shanae to vote for me.
Really?
And no. The little death stares that I had been receiving since the day that she stepped off and into the jury sort of cemented that in my head. You know, then you sit and you start figuring out, okay, wait, so this one actually stayed with Jeanne for the longest period of time, and that one feels this about me, and that one feels this about me. So if it is possible, I probably got 2, maybe 3, but not 6-1. No ways.
This is an interesting comment from another Tom. A lot of you have referenced the fact that it was actually quite boring out there. In between challenges, there was a whole long stretch of day that you had to fill. Tom's saying, you know, why didn't you guys collect stones and play chess or backgammon or something like that?
Oh, they were. I know Martinez had a little chess board that he was doing. And to be honest with you, I spent a lot of time in the water.
Yep.
I was trying my best at spearfishing marine fish. So I apologize for anybody that loves the movie Finding Nemo, but yeah, I pretty much ate the entire cast. I just loved my time out there. I spent all my time in the water, just even if I was just floating there looking around. I was kept busy, and by the time I was finished with that, because of the lack of sleep and the lack of nourishment, when I'm finished, backgammon's the last thing I'm going to play.
Fair enough. Interesting question on the WhatsApp line from Dave, who is wondering what I think many people wonder. Just How scripted is Survivor, if at all? How much direction do you get? Or is it really just there happens to be a camera watching what you do and go for it? I mean, there must be some degree of interaction.
Survivor is extremely directed. They point in a direction, and that's where we go on that specific challenge. And everything else is exactly as you see it. The only direction that we get is this is the challenge. This is where you start. That's where you end.
Really?
Over and above that, we sit, we talk, it's emotions, it's people, and it's completely free-flowing.
That's fascinating. I mean, so the little cutaways we see where it's one person speaking straight to camera, does that happen to their sort of, oh, you, it's your turn, you're up, come and shoot a couple of frames with us, or does someone go to them and say, I want to say something now? So when we're watching the show, you get a little glimpse of whoever it is sharing their thoughts on the challenge, etc. How does that process happen?
To be open, it is a case of every now and then you've got something on your heart,
yeah,
and you decide that you need to say it.
And you find a camera to say it too.
And you find a camera to say it too in a quiet place.
Tom, as bad as some of the jury comments were last night, social media takes criticism to a whole nother level. And we were wincing at some of the stuff that was being tweeted just while the finale was going on. I'm sure it's something... I would imagine it must be tough to deal with, but I would imagine looking at you and the kind of person you appear to be, that your answer is going to be, I don't listen to it and I don't care what they say. But it's got to hurt. It's got to hurt to log in and see somebody, oh, he doesn't deserve to win. I can't believe he's there. I can't stand him. And that kind of thing. How do you deal with that?
Wow. I'm quite a sensitive being. And some of the comments that I got really cut deep.
Yeah.
Some of them hurt a lot. I can't change anybody's perception of me. I am who I am. And I humbly apologize if it's not the kind of person that you're going to want to be friends with. But so be it. Not everybody's meant to get on with everybody else.
Mm.
For those people that are offended, I honestly say build a bridge. Get over it. I did what I did. I did what I could. And I'm very proud of the game that I played. And if you didn't enjoy that, yeah, whoops.
Okay. Lots of people are obsessed about the food here. Sue asking, you all said you were hungry, but then why did none of you look any thinner? Sue, I don't know if you were watching on an old TV set with a bus tube, because what was the collective weight you guys lost? Was something like
131.5 kilograms.
Between you.
Yeah.
And several of you, it was over 15 Ks each. I think you were one of them on the list that lost a huge amount.
16 and a half.
Okay. Yo. How does that make you feel physically? I mean, it's hard to wrap your head around that. You've spoken about the lack of nourishment, but it must leave you feeling weak and tired, and yet you can't sleep well. And it's just a spiral, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a snowball effect. You know, you're not sleeping because you're hungry, and you can't perform as well as what you need to get nourishment because you're hungry.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just becomes worse and worse and worse, and you can actually – you know, my wife would say you could actually feel the pounds shredding off. Well, I literally felt the pounds shredding off. My shirts looked like I still had the coat hanging in them.
Yeah.
No, it was horrible. And when I saw myself in the mirror for the first time, I thought, oh, dear Lord. No, I look insane. It's crazy.
It's real, huh? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Final question before we go to news, Tom, is if they call you up tomorrow and say, we've decided we're going to go straight into Survivor All-Stars and collect previous winners and favorite contestants to do it all over again, would you get on that plane?
No, sweetheart, I wouldn't even say goodbye to you. I'd be on that plane and gone before this mic touches the floor.
Serious?
Oh, yeah.
Why? What was it that made the experience so special for you?
It's everything I've ever wanted. I was out in the middle of nature, providing for myself and for a family. It was peace and serenity. It was a case of there isn't a phone. There isn't all of these almost said abstractions. These things coming in all over the place, the hooting of a car, somebody irritating you because they're driving like schmucks. It was just you and nature and a whole lot of people that you got to know. And I don't think there's anything more beautiful than that.
Except maybe the $1 million check, rand check, sorry.
Yeah, you were talking about the island, and I'm not winning it back.
Okay, fair enough. Tom, all that remains to say is congratulations on a game well played, and thanks so much for popping in to share some of the excitement with us today. I hope you get some sleep at some point during the day today.
Me too. Thank you so much for your time, and to Johnny, Oh, my sweetheart, you're an absolutely formidable opponent. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I am. Thank you so much. And to the listeners that love Johnny so much, please understand, so do I.
Thanks for that. We really appreciate it. Tom Swartz, the winner of Survivor South Africa.